You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone, we have good news and we have bad news. The good news is it's the last international break of the season. The bad news is we're here to do Gig Pod episode 219 covering Celtic 3, St Johnstone 1. It's myself, Stevie here, and I'm with Dan. Dan, you're still thinking about the bad news, aren't you?
I am indeed, Stevie. But listen, it's been a while since you and I have done one of these virtually. By the way, usually we're in a hotel bar or magical Molly Malone's, which we may be. Later on this week, there's a wee teaser there for the support of fans as ever, but no, looking forward to chatting about a rare good performance and Celtic win.
We may be in a hotel bar, yes. Oh, listen, look, only one out of four of GigPod turned up on Saturday. A new record, a low for us. Rizzo was let down at the last minute by myself, and I was looking after my daughter. Of course, Daniel of Daily Celtic went, but Dan, what the hell was your excuse?
Lazy, mate. Work shy.
An elite podcaster, you would say. I just assume it wasn't a big enough game for you, mate, no?
Pretty much. It wasn't free spells going, mate, so you know me.
Sadly, I do, yes. Well, look, anyway, just like, you know, the last international break, Celtic went out in a high. The last one we beat St Mirren, wasn't it? 3-0. Really good performance away, and then came back after, well, I say the international break, it was the winter break, but it was, again, really good performance, and then a 3-1 win over St Johnstone. The first 20-25 minutes I thought was pretty average. I wouldn't say it was poor, but it was just like, it just felt as if, you know, we should have got the goal far sooner. But as soon as that goal was scored, game was over. There was no doubt. I'll go into my rant about St Johnstone later and a bit more about the game, but did you agree that as soon as Furuhashi scored to make it 1-0, that was it, game over? It wasn't like a case of like the Killie match a few weeks ago where we felt it was still going to be a bit of a threat. I think the standard of the opposition was a really big part in the fact that we felt as if at 1-0 that game was safe.
Yeah, pretty much. Listen, let's not get away from it. They are a poor side, a very, very poor side. And granted, we'd obviously dropped points earlier on the season against them at Parkhead. We'd went up to St Johnstone as well and struggled a bit. Obviously, it was a very, very bad first half. The angriest that Brendan has ever been at half-time as a manager, Stevie. But eventually got the job done that day. I did just think, though, with the way that game was going on Saturday, once we got that first goal, it was pretty much game over. I know this Celtic team has gone through the motions at times this season and maybe failed to build on taking a lead in a game, but I just thought on Saturday, having took the lead in that game, with it being one-way traffic, essentially, they didn't really come there with any intention to do anything other than camp 10 men at the edge of their box and play for a 0-0. And as I say, when it didn't pan out that way for them, I had no no kind of doubt in my mind that we would win that game relatively comfortably, which we did in the end.
Yeah, Craig Levein, definitely not a boring manager that sets his teams up very negatively against Celtic. Disastrous from him again. I think his record against Celtic is 3 wins in 40 games. He's a diabolically bad manager. And before I talk about Celtic and praise them, you know, I would say St Johnstone now. I was actually surprised at the fact that they're only 1 point ahead of Ross County. They're in 10th place. I'm pretty sure, I very rarely look at the bottom half of the Old Bells Premier Division, Daniel. But I have to say, I was actually surprised that they were only 1 point ahead of Ross County. I don't think they will go down. Livingston are a shoe, aren't they? They'll be away. They're done. You never know what can happen when it gets to the playoff place from our league and then the old First Division. So 9 times out of 10, it's always the team in the Premier that win that. But I would just pray God that they get down this year. Again, I have my doubts. It does need to happen. I don't care about the away day allocation that we get either, just selfishly because I'm not one of the away day fans anymore. Gave it up 2013. But it just offer nothing. They're a very, very poor side, and Dan, you've already got a rant, I'm sure, planned about aesthetically how bad their stadium is, and we could be getting a far better team in the Premier, really.
Honestly, mate, the yellow and red seats do my box in. I know we've had chats about this before, perhaps it's something we'll discuss on Only Here for a Visit, in terms of the general aesthetics, not just at McDermott Park, but Scottish football games on the old telly in general. Look, you have really had it in for St Johnstone for a number of years now, and I think rightly so, to be honest. I don't suspect many St Johnstone fans will be listening, so I think we can get away with saying this. They are one of the real jobber teams in the Premier. Whether it's this year or next, I suspect that they will go down sooner or later. Obviously, they'd done that cup double a couple of years ago, which was great, historic, very, very rare feat in Scottish football, outside of obviously the Glasgow 2 to go and do a domestic double. So fair play to them for that. But generally in the Premier, albeit they had a good run at one point under Tommy Wright without getting into Europe and that sort of thing, but they really do just make up the numbers. And over the last few years now, I think they have been a very, very poor side. Saw that again on Saturday. So listen, I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, if they do end up in that playoff and do go down. I know they got away with one, was it last season or a couple of years ago now, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were one of the next to go down, either this season or next.
Stirring words there, Dan, and yes, I do hope that happens. Now, so there's a new gimmick on GigPod now. I know everybody's going to be rolling their eyes and groaning at that one, sorry, but there's no more calling Kyogo by his full name anymore. It's going to be his surname from now on. I'm sick of it. So Furuhashi, as his mother intended, don't maybe called, linked up well with Kuhn. I'll ask for your thoughts on both the performances in a wee minute, but I think in general, just with Furuhashi, you know, his movement was exceptional. I think you've been really critical. I think we all have, but I know that you have certainly got some thoughts on him, especially since the international break and we've come back. But I thought his movement was exceptional on Saturday. You know, he was getting in great positions again, and they took his goal pretty well too. Again, I think that miss that he had in the first half, we were both texting each other. I think maybe a few weeks ago, his head would have went right down after it. Certainly after that, he still looked encouraged, and he was being very positive, linking up the play, and his movement, as I mentioned, was excellent. I think that's a Furuhashi we need for the run-in, definitely. Now, again, I'm not going to go overboard, because a lot of fans generally do that. You look on forums, you look on some sites, and after one good performance or two, it's a case of Jota who. Like, you've got to remember, the standard of the opposition was absolutely mediocre. At the same time, Furuhashi, a few weeks ago, like against Kilmarnock, or against Hearts earlier in the season, for example, would have missed a couple of chances like that, and then his confidence would have taken a knock. I think it was a big call from Brendan to start him over Adam Eder, who I genuinely thought he was going to be starting on Saturday. I said that to Hamish on Celtic AM. Make sure you subscribe to him on YouTube. I was pleasantly surprised that Brendan went with Furuhashi, and to be honest with you, it was the right call, because I thought his movement just terrorised St Johnstone. Their defence just couldn't cope with him, and his assist for Kuhn for the second goal at a really good time was excellent as well. So as a critic of him, what did you think about his performance on Saturday, and are you encouraged about him for the rest of the season ahead?
Well, you're quite right in saying we were texting one another during the game on Saturday, and I did berate him, shall we say, for that miss in the first half. But quickly, as you say, a lot of this season you would have maybe expected his head to have dropped. It didn't. He was still taking up good positions. Obviously, the couple of goals that were ruled out, had that chance the second half as well, where he hit the bar, and when he leaned on the bar and fell through the bar. But he had that chance, obviously, in the second half where he hit the bar. I thought, in general, his play on Saturday was much better, much more like the Kyogo of old, in terms of getting into those positions, making those runs in behind, which he did, obviously, to great effect for the second goal. Like you say, you're not wanting to necessarily forget about everything up to this point, but the last couple of games, it's been a lot more promising from Nicholas Kuhn. I'll leave it there, but promising signs between him and Kyogo as well. Obviously, very early days under Ange, you had Abada and Kyogo linking up to pretty good effect, and there's promising signs, as I say, that hopefully they can maybe strike up a similar partnership. But again, early days. Kyogo obviously has been off the boil, I think, for large points this season. I know that people have made excuses, whether that's, you know, bemoaning the lack of service or saying that the way the manager's playing isn't set up to get the best out of him and this, that and the other. I think it did get to a point where, you know, you have to say that his own individual performances as well, big misses that I can think of where it just basically hadn't been the Kyogo of last season, which was a very tough act to follow in terms of how many goals he scored and big goals as well. But promising signs from him, from Kuhn as well on Saturday, and fingers crossed it continues throughout the running, because we certainly need consistent goal scorers.
Let me ask you a question then, ahead of the Livingston game. Yeah, I know, yeah, it's like 2 weeks away or so, but right now, who's playing for Celtic at right wing? Is that going to be Kuhn? Is it going to be Yang? Or is it going to be the best winger at the club, James Forrest? Like, right now, on the current form, who do you think Brendan would go with for that fixture?
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think it would surely be Kuhn, yeah. I think just going off the last couple of games, granted, obviously, there's going to be a bit of a break in momentum because we're going into an international break, but I just think off the back of the last couple of performances, really at the moment, it's his place in the team to lose.
I mentioned James Forrest there too, and it's quite funny. Brendan mentioned like a month or so ago how he was the best winger at the club, and no one seemed to be up in arms about it. And then he repeated it again after the Livingston game, and everybody was just outraged. It makes you wonder, you know, how many people are actually listening to the manager, and if it is just selective or not. But fair play to James Forrest. I thought it was a good finish from him. He was in the right place at the right time, as he tends to be against these teams. He scored against St Johnstone earlier in the season as well, in that 3-1 game, the breakaway. O played it to Awata, took it pretty well. It was a similar type of goal. James Forrest, in terms of the running there, Dan, impact player, or will he be starting a couple of games as well, in your opinion?
I think the vast majority of his appearances between now and the end of the season will probably come off the bench. I can't see him starting more than he has done up to this point, if I'm being totally honest. Thought, obviously, that he'd be out the picture, given the fact that it was pretty well publicised that he'd basically been told he could look for other clubs towards the end of the January window there. But one thing he always has had, even over the last few years, where he's not necessarily been a first team fixture in terms of starting games, is coming off the bench, particularly later on into these games where we are maybe a couple of goals up, it's a little bit more open. He's always probably still good for a goal or an assist in those cases. He's obviously got experience, having been here as long as he has been as well, so I'm sure they'll lean on that to some extent throughout the run-in, but I don't suspect he'll be starting many games, if I'm honest with you. I think it will be more a case of trying to be an impact sub off the bench, and particularly, as I say, when the games are stretched later on, if we are leading by a couple of goals, then I think he's still effective in these situations. But no, to answer your question, I don't see him starting a whole lot.
So Celtic went into the international break top of the league, played one game more than Rangers, were top by a point. Goal difference is exactly the same, which leads us on to the fact that Rangers should have been playing yesterday. So thank you, Dundee, and thank you for your terrible pitch, for the fact that we are top for the next couple of weeks. A great laugh, but behind the laughter, shall we say. What a shambolic situation. I know that there will have been a laugh at it yesterday, but you really do wonder, you know, why Sky bother to give us what paltry money they already throw away. That game should have been played at some point yesterday. We should have been here tonight having a proper laugh at a leggy Rangers team potentially dropping points. But you know, you just knew right away with Dundee and that pitch that the very fact that the game was in any shred of doubt, like the back of 9 o'clock or something, you knew it was coming. And again, yeah, I know it's a Celtic podcast and people are going to be saying, well, why are you caring that much? Because it's Rangers' problem and they'll have to play a game in hand. It's not about that. It's about, you know, aesthetically, we've talked about it, the state of this league. It just shouldn't be happening in 2024. It shouldn't be happening in the Premier in Scotland. And Dundee, I think that's been 4 times this season. I think they had it several times in the old First Division last season before they get promoted to. Dens Park is a riot. You know, I think the stadium itself is one of the oldest in Scotland. I know there's mumblings of them getting a new stadium, but the fact is as well, like, if you know, if Dundee could make top six, right, and see if there's a game against them, maybe say after the split, and it's rubbish weather up there, there's no guarantees that we'll get to play that game, and then we'll be in that type of position. I know that you're probably having a laugh at that, but in the middle of March, to be getting that kind of weather, and to be calling it off for that reason, you expect that in like December or January or something, but no in spring. So there's every chance, you know, with the appalling and garbage weather that area of the country gets, Dundee will be in that position again. Makes the league look absolutely abysmal. I know a lot of people turn off at this point, and they might know what to hear that, because it's all just about laughing at Rangers, which is funny to an extent, but it's just a shambles, isn't it? The fact that we're going to have to wait a couple of weeks to see, you know, the true reflection of the league after that game's played now.
Yeah, no, I absolutely fully agree with you. I think it's a terrible look for Scottish football. I think there was a couple of Championship games on, but I think it was one game in the Premier League on Sky yesterday, if that. I know there was obviously a good few games in the Football Association Challenge Cup on the Beeb and the old Granada. But that was a big game yesterday in the context of Scottish football, and for Sky as well, given that they didn't have a whole lot else on. I think they maybe had Leeds Millwall on later on in the day, actually, which, to be fair, is always a tasty fixture. But no, I do fully agree. As you said there, it's not the first time that it's happened this season in games involving Dundee. It's not the first time that weather has got in the way of a Rangers game. Again, I know we had a laugh about it, but Ross County not being able to get down to Ibrox because of the weather, again, just makes the league look incredibly small time. Livingston and their all-weather pitch, which seems to have a game called off on it every so often as well. It's just pathetic, to be honest. As you say, in 2024, top flight of Scotland, there's massive problems, I think, in Scottish football. Much bigger than obviously just the state of some of the pitches. But like I say, for a televised game on a Sunday, it is not a good look. And as you say, it's frustrating as well. I know yourself included, and maybe others, had made the point at the time that it means later on in the season Rangers are going to have to play 3 games in 1 week in all likelihood. But I know we're into hypotheticals. They're coming off the back of a big game the Thursday night, a disappointment as well on the Thursday night. They may well have dropped points yesterday. We'll never know, obviously, but as you say, even just in terms of getting a true reflection of the league and where things stand going into the running, you would have wanted that game played yesterday just to know where things stand. So, no, a pretty pathetic set of... a pathetic scenario, I should say, sorry. As I say there again, just an incredibly small time look for Scottish football as well.
Good shoot, brother. Right, okay, a couple of things before we go. Yesterday was St. Patrick's Day, so a massive happy St. Patrick's Day. A belated one to all of our listeners over in the old country. Daniel, what did you do yesterday? Did you enjoy yourself? Because I know that you are quite big on that whole St. Patrick's Day gimmick, but from what I can tell, you stayed in because you had a hangover, no sleep, and you just watched the old Football Association Challenge Cup.
Well, Stevie, after Cheltenham, I was cream crackered. Just really, really tired. No, like, as Big Brazil would say, I'd done my absolute Niagaras during the week with the daft ponies, and I was in no mood to enjoy the festivities come Sunday, if I'm being totally honest. So, unlike our manager, Brendan, I did not celebrate the day like a true Irishman.
Fantastic Jackie and Ori for him as well. What a, he truly is one of the greats. That was a throwback to the old Brendan of Yule, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was a real throwback to the good old days, as you say there, Stevie. Listen, there's no chance in hell that he wouldn't have had at least one eye on that game had it gone ahead yesterday, but such is the small-time nature of Scottish football that he got to enjoy a day off, a bit of rest and recuperation, and a few pints of the black stuff.
Right, anyway, before we go, just a shout-out here to a couple of listeners. Dan, I think you know these guys, actually. They asked for you earlier on Instagram when I was talking to them. The Ewart brothers, is it Sean and is it Ben? The couple of them are joining Mark Black at the good old Glasgow Pavilion. There's still tickets available, £21.35, and there's a transaction fee of up to £3.95. It may apply to your order. It's on the 21st of March, and it's at 8 p.m. and again it's at the Pavilion Theatre. I hope they do really well. They are a pair of good boys. I've never met them, but I know during interactions with them on the good old GigPod account, they come across pretty well, and I hope, as I say, they smash it at that Pavilion.
Yeah, good luck to them. Obviously been a good while since I've chatted with either, but with me being anti-social media, so I haven't a clue what's on there, and to be honest, that was the first I've heard of that event, Stevie. But no, good wee shout-out and bit of promo for them there, I must say, brother, and good luck to them when it comes around as well.
Right, so that'll be enough out of me and Dan here. I think Dan's probably still hungover for the weekend and wants his bed. I'll have to, unfortunately, edit this, and I never moan about and never complain about. No, no, not at all. Never me. Dan, thank you for coming on, and I will see you during the week, perhaps, maybe, at a certain hotel bar or a certain pub in this dreadful city.
Listen, Stevie, we're only here for a visit, so let's just be brave, get stuck in, and I'm sure the listeners will hear about it in due course.
Don't worry about that. Right, okay, that's it. You know where to follow us on social media. We're only on Instagram now, but the main thing is that you subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and everywhere else you listen to your podcast. Just keep the numbers going up by subscribing to us on GigPod. If you want to leave a decent review, that's up to you. We will be back later on in the week, as I say. Myself and Dan will be doing Only Here for a Visit. And don't worry, it's going to be a noisy bar or a pub, but we all have mics. Try and contain yourselves. Don't start greeting because it's, you know, we're using a phone. We are going to be using the mics for it. So, as I say, don't worry about that, and we'll talk to you soon.
Podcast Network.